When Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico and knocked out services and power, it also dealt a devastating blow to a critical piece of medical care in America. The Baxter Company is the number one supplier of IV bags stockpiled by hospitals all over the country, and their manufacturing facilities are in Puerto Rico. Slow recovery from Hurricane Maria has now forced hospitals to cope with shortages. Deborah Pasco is Director of Medication Safety and Quality at the American Society of Health System Pharmacists. Hi, Deborah.
Hello.
First of all, people are familiar with IV drips, but tell us a little bit about what kinds of medical supplies we're really talking about here.
The primary concern are small bags of what we call small volume parenterals, and these are volumes of 50 to 100 mLs. People can think of that kind of like of three cups of fluid. That is the mainstay of how we dilute medications before we administer many IV medications and give to patients. So it's really critical that we have the supply, and then the absence of that, we really have to think of alternatives.
Okay, so that's the fluid-filled IV bag that's next to the bed, elevated in gravity, pulls the fluid down into your arm, essentially, bedside in the hospital, right?
Correct. And sometimes it's also infused by an infusion pump where the nurse would set up the tubing and the pump would infuse instead of using gravity.
Well, how important are these IV bags to hospitals? What kinds of treatments, what kinds of medications are we talking about? Are they a staple?
They are a staple. We use hundreds to thousands of these bags, depending on the hospital size, every single day to dilute medications further before we give them to patients. This is especially important in the cancer area, where many of these patients, the drugs that we would give them for their cancer reasons, we would further dilute in these small bags. So that is a population that really is at risk during the shortage.
So Baxter's the number one manufacturer of these IV bags that are so critical. Their facilities are in Puerto Rico. So how bad is the shortage now across the country, and how are hospitals trying to cope, Deborah?
So I would say that we were actually in a crisis. And what I mean by that and how I define that, we recently did a survey in late November with our membership. We have about over 45,000 members, but we had about, in a week's time, 323 people that responded to them. And 99% of them said we have been affected to some extent, with two-thirds of them saying we have been affected to a severe extent, meaning that it's impacted their daily operations and they're having to be very fluid and flexible, literally from hour to hour throughout the day and making changes.
What does a nurse at the bedside in the critical care unit or elsewhere in the hospital do if they don't have the normal supply of the IV bags we're talking about? How do they work around?
The workarounds are a couple different things. One of them is a technique called IV push. So this is where we dilute a medication and dispense it with a syringe, and the nurse stands at the bedside and slowly gives that medication. It does require the nurse to physically push the syringe and push the medication in over a short period of time.
And that's more work and more time from the nurse because they have to stand at the bedside rather than letting gravity do the work.
Yes, it does take more of their precious nursing time to use these different techniques. There are other ways of giving medications. Not as common as what really a lot of the hospitals are using this technique called IV push to a really large extent. Our members had indicated to us that almost 90% of them had started to use this method that has now become the workhorse in the absence of bags.
Deborah, we're going to talk about the flu season in just a minute, particularly bad in the Northern Hemisphere now as flu season develops. This shortage of IV bags in hospitals, do you see it having consequences for this flu season?
Absolutely. The reason I'm saying that is because we were already in an episodic shortage of the larger volumes of bags, like the liter bags, ever since 2014. We've never had what I would consider a consistent and abundant supply of those larger bags. And it is those larger bags that we use to rehydrate patients, especially influenza patients. So the other flip of the coin has been that in lieu of not having the smaller bags, some of them have started to use the larger bags and try to repackage them into smaller bag sizes. But when you do that, then you're using your larger bags too, which are critical for those patient needs. Influenza patients in particular, there are two things that they need. One of them is antivirals with drugs such as Tamiflu, and the other is hydration fluids. If you don't have one of those, it could significantly impact a patient and their outcomes.
And hundreds of thousands of American patients will land in the hospital with the flu this year. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. In the meantime, we reached out to Baxter. You can read their response saying they're increasing supply efforts and expect to have more bags on the market in the coming weeks. That's on our website at thetakeaway.org. Deborah Pasco with the American Society of Health System Pharmacists. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.